May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1087. Was it for sin, for mortal guilt, the Saviour gave his vital blood? For sin, amazing anguish felt, the wrath of an offended God. Hymn 1087. Two portions from God's holy word. First Psalm 42, and afterwards Micah chapter 7. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his soul shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And now we read from the prophecy of Micah, chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the great gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoureth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. In the day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvellous things. The nation shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to our souls. John, will you come and pray, please? O dear, kind and gracious God, oh, do help us now to come before Thee in prayer. Oh, as we thankful to come again on another Sabbath morning, oh, we would come with a hymn writer. Once more we come before our God. Once more a blessing ask. Oh, may not duty seem a load, or worship prove a task. O Lord, we do pray that Thou'd help us today. Thy day, Lord, grant us that real worship. May we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, do come and help us. Lord, do come. Grant Thy presence here today. May it be a special day. May it be a day to remember. Oh, may it be one of those days that the Lord hath made. So, Lord, do come here today. And as we have that reading service this morning, Lord, we do pray for Thy help. May it prove to be one of Thy appointments. Oh, what to be read. We pray Thou'd help our deacon in reading. And Lord, do bless what is read. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that Thou'd help in every part of this service. Lord, oh, we are but men. Lord, do come over all our failings. And oh, grant us real worship. And Lord, we do pray that Thou'll bless the reading of Thy word. Oh, do bless what we have just read. Oh, who is a God like unto Thee? Oh, a God that delighteth in mercy. And oh, we do pray for that mercy. Oh, Lord, who can need it more than we? Oh, do come, Lord, grant that forgiveness. Grant that spirit, oh, of real prayer this day. Lord, grant us real repentance. Oh, may we not grieve Thee. Lord, Thou knowest, Lord, how each one has come in. Lord, any with a special case, oh, do appear for them this day, we pray. Lord, Thou knowest the needs of each one. We would thank Thee for Thy many mercies through another way. Lord, truly Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faith. Lord, we would give thanks, oh, for all Thy goodness to us. Oh, and that we are still on praying ground. Thou hast not cast us into a deserved hell. Oh, we pray, Lord, do still have mercy upon us. Oh, turn us to Thee, turn us again. And Lord, grant that closer walk. Oh, we would give thanks, Lord, for oh, the news this morning, Lord, of that little babe born. Oh, to our friends Oliver and Naomi. Lord, we thank Thee for it. Lord, do be with him. Lord, as Thou hast brought him into this world. Thou knowest, Lord, all his life. Oh, we pray for him. May he have that healthy body and healthy soul. And Lord, we do pray for the parents. Oh, do help them, Lord, in this new path of theirs. We pray that Thou would guide them and keep them and go before them every untrodden step. Lord, do be with them, Lord, in all the way that Thou would have them to go. And Lord, we do pray for that little church at Stockfold, Lord, that's bereaved them of their deacon. Lord, now they have a little babe. Oh, we pray that Thou'lt be with them, help them today. And Lord, do help Oliver in all his responsibilities there. Lord, do be his helper, we pray. And Lord, do undertake for each one. Oh, we do thank Thee, Lord, for each of the little families here, the little children amongst us today. Oh, do be with them. Go before them. Lord, we pray that there may be that generation to follow on in this I have. Lord, oh, amongst our little ones, Lord, may there be some pillars. who will one day be pillars in this place. Lord, do keep them, we pray. Oh, undertake for them. And Lord, do be with each one. And Lord, we would pray for those, Lord, who as yet have no families. And Lord, long for them, we pray for them. Oh, do appear for them. May the day yet come. Lord, we do pray for each one and those who seek, oh, partners in life. Lord, do grant them those God-fearing partners. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that, oh, there may be those brought in. So, Lord, do be with each one and remember each one in the different stages of life. Remember our elderly one in the home. Lord, do draw near. Lord, oh, we pray that thou would appear for her. Lord, and do grant that, oh, that she may know thy presence. Lord, do come, do visit her in the home. And Lord, oh, prepare for eternity. And Lord, oh, as it cannot be long, Lord, we pray to be made ready. Oh, and that we each may be. Lord, we know not, oh, who will be next. But Lord, we pray that it may be, oh, that great concern will us each. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Oh, Lord, we do pray for our deacon away on holiday with his dear one. Lord, do be with them where they gather today. Lord, we pray it may be a special day to them today. Lord, do be with them, watch over them, keep them, protect them, bring them back in peace and safety. And Lord, we do pray that this anniversary occasion for them, there may be that looking back, oh, over their married life together, thy goodness to them. Lord, do bless them abundantly, we pray. Lord, do undertake for each one. Lord, do be with us here. Oh, we pray that thou wilt so build us up here. And Lord, do work amongst us. Do hear our prayer, Lord, that thou wilt grant us, if it could be thy will, a pastor. Lord, grant us each that real prayer for us. Lord, we believe it is, oh, a right way to be sought. And Lord, we do pray that, oh, thou wilt grant us real prayer for it, and that we may see thy hand in it. Lord, if it can be thy will, but all thy will to be done. Lord, do grant it, we pray. And oh, do, Lord, do hear prayer for our nation. Lord, oh, as we live in such sad days, Lord, oh, do turn us again. Oh, as we've read in thy word, oh, turn us again. Lord, that there may be a turn. Lord, oh, that we may, Lord, plead that word. A God that delighteth in mercy. Oh, do have mercy on this land. Remember, Lord, other lands, and Lord, who have known those hurricanes and earthquakes, and all those solemn events that they have witnessed. Oh, we pray that thou wilt, oh, so appear for them. Grant them that relief. Lord, do be with us now. Oh, grant us real worship today. We pray for thy servant expected this evening. Lord, do help him through the day where he is. And bring him up to us this evening. Oh, and grant him, Lord, a message to bring. Oh, may he prove to be thy messenger with thy message today. Lord, do bless his labours. Do help him, Lord. Oh, give him all needed strength for the day. Oh, do be with him. Remember his wife and family at home too, Lord. Oh, undertake for them. And Lord, we do pray. Oh, that it may be, oh, a special day. Do come with him and grant him thy presence. May he have much liberty, Lord. Grant us real prayer for him. And oh, that it may be a day to remember. Do now then, Lord, hear our poor cries. Forgive our poor attempts to call upon thee. And Lord, do help in every part of this service. And may it be, Lord, a good day. Oh, that there may be that. Oh, done to thy honour and glory. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Hymn number 977. Deep are the wounds which sin has made. Where shall the sinner find a cure? In vain, alas, is nature's aid. The work exceeds all nature's power. Hymn 977. I will try and read you a sermon preached by Mr. Frank Gosden. And you will find the words of the text in Micah chapter 7. The prophecy of Micah chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. The prophet was commanded by God to contend before the mountains and hills with respect to the controversy he had with his people. In the sixth chapter, there is the controversy that God had with his people for their unkindness and ignorance. And in the seventh chapter, we have the effect of that controversy. It was effective. In the two verses that we have read, there is a summary. The gathering up of the effect of the controversy of God with his people. It is the language of faith. Faith under particular and peculiarly trying circumstances. The prophet was speaking for the church, and therefore of the experience of the individual child of God, whose condition was far from realizing liberty. For as it says here, I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. And yet it is a demonstration of the actings of faith when the soul is under the chastisement of God. A very blessed experience, though solemn. You will notice that in the 8th and 9th verses, there are two distinct attitudes of the soul. And the two directions of the heart in these two verses are both from the blessed influence of faith. In the 8th verse, we have the child of God looking at his enemies. And in the 9th verse, the soul is looking to God. In the first case, this, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, is not a pleading to the enemy for mercy. It is not ascribing to the enemy a kind of victory and beseeching the enemy not to rejoice over him, but rather it is faith under the mighty hand of God, looking at the enemies that have brought desolation into his soul, for which he is now mourning, and a desiring to vindicate the honour of and glory of God under that heavy hand. It is a looking at the enemies and saying, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. It is not for thee to rejoice. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. I have sinned, but rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. There was a zeal there for the honour and glory of God, an acknowledgement that the responsibility for the state discovered to him was procured to himself by his own sin. O mine enemy, my hope is yet in God. In his time he will deliver me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. And this act of faith was not when the man was upon the mountains, when the candle of the Lord shone about him. Have we this experience? Those of us who may be under the chastening hand of God? Look at the condition here. As though he would with indignation look at his enemies and vindicate the honour of God. In the next place, notice how he bows his head to the Lord. He would look at his enemies, and his enemies are the Lord's enemies. But he looks to the Lord, and in the indignation he would bear to his sin, he bows to the Lord. This is the attitude of faith, being made submissive and prostrating oneself before the Lord under his heavy hand. Well, my friends, the enemies of the church are peculiar to them. Their joys are peculiar. Their trials are peculiar. The dealings of God with his people are distinct, different from his dealings with any other. He hath not dealt so with any other nation. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. It will be well for us if the Lord's enemies are our enemies. Let us try to look at some of these enemies and see what our attitude toward them is. In the first place, one of the great enemies to the child of God is the world, both the world within and the world without. Is the world our enemy? Not easily answered. A simple question which may too easily be dismissed. Is the world our enemy? The psalmist said, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." Are they your enemies? Are they my enemies? The world is nearer to us than sometimes we think. The channels through which the spirit of the world creeps in pass through every faculty of our body. It is natural to us. It belongs to our flesh. And we shall never rise above that level unless grace lifts us up above it. So you see that it is no small thing to be really an enemy to the world and for the world to be an enemy to us. What a solemn place the world is. If you notice, as it is described in the Word of God, the exact position of the world to God, there is nothing to be envied there. You take some of those chapters in the Gospel according to John and see there the position which the Lord assigns to the world. I pray not for the world. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He that is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. A solemn thing, if we are the friends of the world, to be found at last an enemy to God. But oh, the world hates grace in the people of God. Both the religious and the profane world hate the person of Christ. Everything outside of the Lord Jesus is in opposition to a child of God. We are in an enemy's land. And oh, how the world waits for our halting. How they would rejoice to see us overthrown. And how the devil rejoices to see the Lord's people entangled with the spirit of the world. Oh, the fruits of the flesh, the world within, the covetousness. Oh, how if left to ourselves we run after some idol here. How we number our days, not to apply our hearts unto wisdom. But left to ourselves, we seek a nest in this world. It is not a small thing to hate the world, not the persons in it, but the spirit of the world, which is enmity to God. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Another enemy to the child of God is a carnal heart. A carnal heart in which dwells unbelief and infidelity. Do you know this enemy? It is an enemy to God. And it is an enemy to God as he is in the hearts of his people. It is the person of Christ that Satan is against. And if he sees in a man the grace of God, that is the image of God in that man, he will torment and worry whom he can't destroy. And that man will know that Satan is his enemy. And we have a nature in league with Satan, so that it makes it not easy. There is only one way in which we can live to the honour and glory of God, and that is by faith. There is nothing here to help us, nothing in this world to help us in the way to heaven. If we are to honour God, we shall have to receive our food from God. Our help must come from heaven. There is nothing on this side of the grave that will ever waft us to God. All the powers within us, all the powers in the world are hellward. We ever into ruin run. So there is no power or faculty within us to help us. Oh, what a mighty work is a work of grace in the heart. And all these enemies are against us. But faith in the heart says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Sometimes faith enables a soul to speak with himself as before God and say under the oppression of his enemy, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. It will take the soul beyond his enemies and lead him to the rock that is higher than his greatest enemy. And so he is enabled to look at his enemies and say, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise." This is not underrating the enemy. The next most powerful thing to the power of God is the power of sin. It is a great power, a power too much for any of us. It will carry thousands down to hell. So the prophet here does not belittle the power of his enemies. When I fall, there is a fall. The scriptures reveal this. Some of the saints of God have been left to fall foully. But when I fall, I shall arise, O enemy. I have known thy power. David knew it. He had the mark of that sin, which he himself afterwards felt, "My sin is ever before me." And he could say to the enemy, "When I fall," and the meaning here is "though," "I shall arise. I have a good God. I have sinned against him, but I will hope in him." Unbelief, the great enemy of the soul, would close the mouth and show the poor soul every reason why his mouth should be closed. But faith in him will open it and say to the enemy, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy." I believe the day will come when the distance I feel, the darkness I am walking in, will be removed. If he will but lift upon me the light of his countenance, it will be sufficient. I will rejoice in him. So rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When there is casting down, then there will be lifting up. What a mercy it is, my friends, to be so dealt with under God's mighty hand in chastening, to be really humbled by it. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away. Some of us have had much beauty consumed away. We have shrunk considerably. But oh, to be enabled to lift up the head by faith and see in Christ all that the soul can need for time and eternity. Oh, this discipline. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. He is speaking to his enemies, these enemies which had brought him into darkness. When I sit in darkness, this word "sit" is very near to the word "bear" in the 9th verse. When I sit in darkness, I will bear the indignation of the Lord. There is submission here when one is in darkness and the cause of it has been discovered to him. The hymn writer looks back at better days and says, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord?" Now in darkness, and by the controversy the Lord has with the soul, is discovered to him the reason for sitting in darkness. There is an activity in that sitting. It is not an idleness. It is not a mere saying, if the Lord means to bless me, the end of this darkness will come, I will wait for it. But it is an activity of faith, a prostration, a desire to walk in that scripture, be still and know that I am God. To sit in that condition which he has brought himself into. Perhaps it is the darkness of a dark dispensation in providence that the Lord has sent in judgment, a chastisement wherein everything has been made crooked and things put completely out of joint. Maybe he has reduced a prosperous business to ruin, or brought down a strong body to frailty and affliction. This is sitting in it. Or it may be darkness in the soul, or both together, and you are brought to look at it as the Lord brought the people in this sixth chapter to look where they had been and to observe what the Lord had indulged them with and how unkind they had been. Oh, what a mercy it is, my friends, if the Lord's chastening becomes effective. One of the most solemn places we can be in is for the dealings of God to be ineffective to us, to remain the same when we came out of trouble as when we went in. And one of the most perilous conditions we can be in is to be careless in trouble. If we are careless in trouble, the first thing we shall do will be to try to get out of it and be rebellious. There will be no sitting in it. I wonder how many of you are sitting in darkness and recognize in the trouble your own folly and sin. You won't believe there is faith there. You won't think you have any faith. But this is the essence of humility, real humility. Humility is not what we may think it is. It is not a despairing, a despondency. That is unbelief. But humility is a sober mind, a level, balanced mind, a mind graciously sanctified by the dealings of God with it, and one's own sin is recognized in the condition, and therefore there is a sitting in darkness. This is carrying on the work of grace. This is where faith is living and labouring under load, damped here, but not dead. A comely sight to see it. I feel myself to see a person really chastened with a chastened spirit is one of the most beautiful sights one can see. It is not deliverance, but oh, to see one really sitting in darkness with faith active. Not a carnal mind active, ready to cut any way out, but sitting, bowing to the sovereignty of God. Do we know this experience? If you do, if any of you are sitting in darkness, you will know the experience of the prophet, and the Lord will be a light unto you. Faith and hope go together. And these two blessed graces can be in the same soul that sits in darkness. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. There is secret prayer then. There is a desire there and then for the Lord to search the heart. The heart is made honest, and it then becomes that pure heart that is spoken of as being blessed. That is the purity of the heart. It is open before God. No dissembling. Hypocrisy is then put down. The purging work of the Holy Ghost is operating and becoming effective in the heart, and the leaven of grace is working. What a blessing it is to be delivered from our backslidings. This is to have the fallow ground broken up, to have a seared and hardened conscience awakened, to have stirred up those prayers, stagnant as ditch water, which seems such a burden to one at times. But when the Lord brings us into this darkness and causes us to sit there, as sometimes a parent will deal with a child and tell it to sit there for so long, the conscience is made tender as it sits and examines itself in these afflictions. This is part of the work of grace. This is the north wind, the frost that breaks up everything. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And thus there will be in that case a refusing of any relief but this light of the Lord. There will be many, perhaps without grace, even professors who know nothing of this sitting in darkness. They have plenty of help, plenty of ways out. False teachers who know nothing of tribulation and deep waters have plenty of ways out of this darkness. The children of this generation are wiser than the children of light. They were not commended because of their wisdom, but their subtlety. They found their way out of trouble and darkness, such darkness as they had. But with this soul, there will be no way out. There is a wound made by the controversy of God. It is not a scratch which can be easily healed by any quack. Just for our younger friends, I'll say, the meaning of a quack is someone who pretends to be a doctor but is not a real one. There is a wound made by the controversy of God. It is not a scratch which can be easily healed by any quack. Neither will there be any comfort but such as comes from the countenance of the Lord. There will be many who say, "Who can do us any good?" But in this condition, there is only one good which the child of God will receive, and that is the lifting up upon him of the light of God's countenance. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. This is the light, the only cure, the only way. I wish I knew more of this, a tried path, a shameful path in one sense, when brought to that condition. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. You have and you inherit the barren places of the earth, and you are brought to be ashamed of your leanness. Oh, the discoveries made to a man sitting in darkness under the chastening hand of the Lord. If any of you are there, may the Lord enable you to sit there and refuse any comfort but what comes from the light of his countenance. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Oh, what a distinct work is the work of the Holy Ghost. That alone stands. The religion of the flesh may soar much higher. The fire that people light and then walk in the sparks of that fire of their own kindling may appear to burn up brighter than this work which we have been endeavouring to describe. But they will lie down in sorrow. But those that are walking in this path, humbled under the mighty hand of God, will come forth in due season. For he will lift them up in due time. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. It is a path of affliction, seeing that through much tribulation they must enter the kingdom. It must be so. We are in the world with enemies, sin and death within us and all about us. We have no anchorage in this world. If we are safe for heaven, our anchor must reach beyond this time state into that within the veil. And if we are on the way to heaven, made sojourners, pilgrims, and strangers in the world, we have no foundation here. Oh, may we be given to take heed to the word of the apostle. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Poor world, there is nothing here to stand our feet upon. O poor troubled people, you who may be sitting in darkness and know what the chastening of the Lord is, whose deliverance seems to be far off, everything unfinished and looking as though it would never be finished. And perhaps your own standing before God is causing you much exercise. Sit in it. Refuse any comfort, and seek no way out but the light of his countenance. His coming is the only cure. He is the only way out. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. What a rebuke against the enemies. Oh, to be able to fall before him, to have in your heart such a love to God though in darkness. Look, this man is not on the mountain. Jonah, in the belly of hell, looked once more toward the holy temple. The activity of faith in a low state in this man here, looking at his enemies, ranging them as it were before him, all the enemies that would swallow him up. He had fallen evidently and brought himself into darkness. And yet faith lived and labored there. Though he had brought it upon himself, he looked at his enemies with a zeal for the honor and glory of God and said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. World, rejoice not against me. You are mine enemy, I declare it. Unbelief, you are mine enemy. Infidelity, you are mine enemy. Rejoice not against me. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I shall yet praise him. I will wait his time and bear his indignation. But, O enemy, you will not get the victory." Faith honors God in the dark and believes it shall be done. Therefore, enemy, rejoice not against me. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. May you be led into this word, and may the Lord be a light unto you that may be sitting in darkness. Amen. The notices are as follows. God willing, Mr. Stephen Rosier will preach this evening, Mr. Philip Hare on Friday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. The collection today are for the afflicted people in Central America at this time. Our friends at Fen Stanton hope to hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday evening, and the friends at St. Ives on Thursday evening. Now I'll ask Andrew to come and announce the last hymn and close with a benediction.
I'll close with hymn 343. If Jesus is ours, we have a true friend, whose goodness endures the same to the end. Our comforts may vary, our frames may decline. We cannot miscarry, our aid is divine. Though God may delay to show us his light, and heaviness may endure for a night, yet joy in the morning shall surely abound. No shadow of turning in Jesus is found. Hymn 343.
Thank you.
ask now for thy blessing and thy forgiveness on our service here this morning. Do grant, O Lord, thy forgiveness for anything that may have been wrong in thy sight. O Lord, and do grant thy blessing on thy word that we've heard. Do bless it, Lord, to our souls. Do bless it to us, Lord, in our lives, all the different circumstances we may each be in. O Lord, do bless thy word to us. May it be an encouragement. Lord, may it strengthen. May it uphold us. May it help us. Lord, may it reprove us where it's needed. Lord, do bless it to us, and we pray. Help us each to remember something of what we've heard today. And now, Lord, do keep us through the rest of the day. We pray, Lord, thou wilt keep us in what we do, keep us in what we say, keep us in what we think. Keep us, Lord, from grieving thee. O do have mercy then upon us each. Watch over us, keep us safe. Bless the children, Lord, in the Sunday school. Help our friends that teach them, Lord. Do put thy love and thy fear in each of the children's hearts while they're young. Do teach them, Lord, of thyself, we pray. And Lord, we pray for thy servant we expect tonight. Do watch over him today and help him where he is, and give him a safe journey to us later. And we pray, Lord, that truly thou wilt give him thy message to bring to us, so that, Lord, we may know that message from our God to our souls through thy servant. And now, Lord, we pray that each of us may truly know in our hearts that love of an almighty God, our Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We ask these favours and blessings for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.